coast to coast on the World Wide Web. This is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. Norm Borg here. Well, we've got a new premier who's also the agriculture minister. We're going to talk to a man who's been at the center of trying to put together a deal with the government through the OMAPRA panel. And we're going to talk about what kind of challenges a John Snowball is going to face, because it's true that the premier is the ag minister, but rural affairs, she's handed that off to another individual. John Snowblin, our guest on this edition of Trot Radio. John Snowblin, welcome back to Trot Radio.
Hey, great to be back with you.
Now, I need some clarification on something. When the new premier was named, Kathleen Wynne said she would be the Minister of Agriculture, which is good news for those of us in the racing industry, because now it would appear we have a direct ear to the premier, obviously, who's looking after that portfolio. That covers our industry. The other part of it, though, that's a bit confusing, she handed rural affairs over to another minister or created that position. Where does that put OMAPRA in all this? And who are we, you know, who are we in the industry supposed to be going to?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question at this juncture. Now they're 24 hours into this, so I suspect that some of that separations of files is probably not any more clear here. But I'm told that the premier will have a direct interest, has had a direct interest in the horse racing file, and will continue to do so. Now, I know Jeff has come in as a minister to handle rural affairs, and you know, he also obviously has an interest in the file. So the communication side of it we'll have to figure out, but we have now two ministers looking at this, one of whom also happens to be a premier. I think that's all good news.
That is, in and of itself, very good news, and certainly it would be somebody who, as you said, whose interest would lend itself more towards some compromise. Should we be getting our hopes up that this could result in, if not, obviously, a return to the Slots at Racetracks program as we know it, certainly some form of a partnership with the government whereby racing is part of the gaming strategy?
Well, you know, the premier has said that she has read our report and accepted our report. And obviously the two things that we talked about were a need to make sure that the industry has enough money to do a transition and sufficient funds. We obviously rejected the first offer the government made in that regard, and now we're back at the table. And secondly, she has talked about a long-term partnership. So I think those two things bode well. If I was in the industry, I wouldn't not be looking for a return to SARP. That's, I don't think, in the cards, no matter who's on the second floor at Queen's Park. But I think having somebody who's interested in the file, somebody who understands that it impacts rural Ontario particularly, is all good news as we get into the real meat of negotiating the agreements.
How do you feel about a former agriculture minister, Mr. McMeekin? You know, you've got a minister who 6 weeks ago was saying, "Yep, we're right behind Dalton on this cancellation of SARP. Got to form a new type of deal with horse racing." And then, as soon as Dalton's out the door, you know, SARP was a pretty good idea. Maybe we got that wrong. I mean, what kind of confidence does that instill in you as a committee? And how confident should we be?
Well, a couple of things. One, as I said before, I don't think SARP will ever come back. I mean, it was just, for a variety of reasons, got the horse industry facing the wrong customer. And it'd be great to have the industry facing, as you know, the fan and the horse player.
Right.
And Minister McMeekin is 100% on that, as far as I know. I spoke to Ted as he's off on a new challenge. I think everybody in the horse industry owes him a deep thank you for getting the file to where it is now. I mean, he did yeoman service on this. But I think we have a friend of horse racing at the cabinet table, even if he's not on this file, and I think that speaks well for them. If I was a horseman, raising a standardbred or a thoroughbred in Ontario, I'd be pretty happy about that.
Now, let me ask you this. You've met with various track executives, correct?
Exactly, yes.
Yes. Now, from what I'm hearing, they're being told by OMAPRA, look, sit tight. It's going to take a few weeks because, obviously, as the premier looks at the file and so on, there might be some changes to that. The execs are saying, that's fine, but we're running out of time. What's the best advice you can give at this point?
Well, we're cognizant of the time problem. I mean, think back a couple of weeks, we've had two announcements. One was that WEG would be open at both facilities for the next couple of years, which is, I think, great news. Last week, ORC issued a press release saying that they're going to be working with people in the industry on a $30 million HIP program. That's good news. And as far as the other tracks are concerned, Yeah, you know, we advised in our report that finance go and do an audit with these with all the tracks, make sure we understand where ground zero is in terms of costs of racing. They've already started that process, so the tracks have submitted financial information. Mm-hmm. The first, we recommended this, and finance took it up, that they would start with the biggest player, WEG, mm-hmm. and probably the most complex one. That's been done for a couple of weeks, and we've been meeting with finance to get a simpler template, to work out a simpler template to talk with the rest of the tracks, and at least part of the delay has been us. We've been encouraging them to go out and do something a little simpler process and a little quicker process mm-hmm. With the smaller tracks and relatively simpler tracks than they did with WEG. And we have agreement on that. I think we'll be ready to go in the next few days. So everybody understands the time frame. What we really wanted to do is make sure it didn't take a month with each track to
right.
to negotiate a deal.
Right.
So all of this is actually in the interest of doing it faster.
Okay. Now, the deal with WEG is going to be more or less a template than you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it gives us a lot of understanding. WEG's way different than everyone else, just in terms
right.
of volume, size, and all the rest of it. But I think from going through the process with them, there's a better understanding all the way around of the costs of running racing and mm-hmm. and the various elements that go into that.
Does the deal with WEG and OMAFRA allot any percentages from the tracks deal with OLG to go to purses?
No, it doesn't. But it does count the OLG rent as part of the income that comes into the track, so part of the track support. It does not, though, direct any of that into purses.
It doesn't direct it, even though, well, is there a suggestion that maybe it should? Because these guys are going to be taking a real hit.
Yeah. You know, the announcement that WEG made was, if now memory serves correctly, and pardon me if I'm wrong, was 133 thoroughbred A-days and 187 standardbred pardon me, A-days, at about the same purse levels as they would have been in 2012. So what's happening is 100% of the commission that they generate from parimutuel wagering is now going into purses, where prior to this year, 50% would have gone to races and 50% would have gone to track. Basically, the government's gone in and backstop the tracks so that all of that commission can go to purses.
Okay, let's talk about that for just a second, because we've touched on the idea of racing being part of the gaming strategy. Does that not make us want to push harder for that? Because the better we are ingrained into the gaming strategy, obviously the better it is for the horse people.
We recommended that, and we think for a couple of reasons. One, it just makes sense. I mean, mm-hmm. Wagering on horses isn't gaming, I'm not sure I understand what gaming is. So
right.
it's fairly obvious from that
point. Do you think that there's a good chance the government will incorporate that?
You know, I'm not, so far the indications are very positive. I think it's well received, but I haven't guessed right on gaming strategy in 20 years, so I guess I'll avoid trying to do that now. And that was back when I used to sit at that table.
Now, let me ask you, we could be looking at a provincial election, although Premier Wynne has said that's not what she wants to do right away. But how would that affect everything?
Well, you know, elections are frankly, we've been through a period of change on political change as we've tried to steer this file along for the last 6 months. And including internally, we've gone through a deputy minister at OMAFRA. We've obviously had a lot of changes and kind of a holding pattern for a couple of months. And yet the file has progressed and it has moved on. So that gives us, I think, a little bit of confidence. During an election cycle, everyone who's involved with any file in government gets just a little nervous because of that. But I think in the next couple of months, we will see the completion of the 2013 calendar and probably a good foundation for the 2014 calendar. Really, that's as much as we can expect.
Okay. So how many tracks do we now have with, at least in principle, site holder deals with OLG?
I think most of them now. I understand that there was three or four as of last week that were very close but not yet finished.
Yeah, Grand River, I think, was one of them, but they're on board now, are they not?
They're on board. I think Great Canadian Gaming had some finishing up to do with them, but I understand that that was fairly close.
Okay.
And I believe Ajax Downs is also on that list.
Okay, well, that's good to know. So you're meeting with the remaining tracks, and what we're waiting for is perhaps some kind of final word from the second floor at Queen's Park, namely the Premier, as to how this whole thing's going to take shape.
I think we're ready to go on the track stuff. I think we have all the approvals that we need to have to do that. And, you know, I don't think the briefing of the folks on the second floor is going to take very long because they're very familiar with the file.
Very good. If we can just get them to work us into their gaming strategy, that would be a big help because we need to be on that level playing field whereby it becomes sexy again to bet on racing, if you don't mind my using that term. So we'll hope for the best.
Hey, you know, anytime, you know, it's been a tough year for horsemen and tough year for horses in Ontario. It's nice to see a few announcements coming out that give us more than just a ray of hope, but actually a promise of a future. And we're excited about it. We're excited about the opportunity. There's a lot of tough decisions yet to be made, but they'll be racing in Ontario for a long, long time.
Well, as one who derives his living from that, I can tell you I'm very glad to know that. John Snowblin, you've always been very open with at least this individual in terms of reporting what's going on. I appreciate it, and I'm sure despite the tough job you have, the rest of the industry appreciates that as well. Thank you so much, sir.
Great. Look forward to talking to you again.
All right, now. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Mr. John Snowblin of the OMAFRA panel. Rays of hope becoming perhaps a little wider. Quick shout out to all the folks at Standardbred Canada, Kathy Wade-Villar. Great job putting together the O'Briens. What an honor it was to co-host that along with a consummate professional like Ken Middleton. Thank you so much, gang, for all your help and hard work. And thank you for all your kind words. That's it for this edition of Trot Radio, a presentation of Standardbred Canada in cooperation with Board Communications.